Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
December 4th, 2007, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, monitor calibration. Welcome back to another Digital Story today. I just finished teaching a workshop at Santa Rosa JC talking about workflow stuff, and I thought I'd just sort of keep it going right here on the Digital Story by talking about one of the things that I think is so important to getting good prints and to making sure that other people see your photos the way that you think you're seeing them, and that's monitor calibration. And we're going to touch on that for a little bit today. Just want to make sure you're headed in the right direction, and then we'll let you take it from there. And then we have some other good stuff to talk about around our photo assignments and grab shots and so forth. But right now, I think I'd like to dig right into monitor calibration. So here's the deal. When we get our laptops or our monitors or whatever we get from the factory, they're actually, most of the time these days, not too bad in terms of being aligned with the standard way that the rest of the world tends to look at gamma and color and so forth. But a lot of times also, they're not perfect. And then over time, of course, these things can shift. So it's always a good idea to make sure that your monitor is calibrated according to the standards that the rest of the world is working off. And this will help you with everything. This will help you when you upload a photo to Shutterfly for printing. This will help you when you upload a web page of your images. This will help you when you send a friend a picture. And this will help you when you send a picture to print on your own photo desktop printer. It helps in all these different areas. Now, it's not the total solution. Monitor calibration is part of the equation. And for example, when you're printing at home, then the other part is making sure that your printer is using a profile so that it communicates cleanly with your computer so that the information being handed off by the computer is being interpreted correctly by the printer. So the printer, we've talked about that before. We will talk about it again. Maybe even next week I'll talk about the other half of the equation, which is the printer ICC profiles and so forth. But right now, I want to focus on the monitor. Now, there are a couple different ways to go with this. Actually, there's quite a few different ways. And one of the things that I always want to make sure happens when I'm teaching in class is that I provide at least a few techniques so that you don't have to go right out and buy a colorimeter. Because that's an expense. And a lot of times, especially when I'm teaching photography, those expenses, you know, they start to add up. Well, you should get new software. You know, you really need Aperture or Lightroom or something. And you really need an external hard drive. And you really should have a memory card reader. And, you know, so by the time we get to monitor calibration, they don't want to hear that they need a colorimeter too. Even though you can get them for less than $100, one of my recent rediscoveries is the Huey, the Pantone Huey. And actually, I'm going to do just a short digression on the Pantone Huey for a minute, because, and then I'll come back to the central discussion here. But when the Huey first came out, I actually wasn't impressed with it. And you may have even read a review that I did on the Digital Story of the original Huey. So I just could not make this thing calibrate to what I thought was correct. My monitor was too warm. It had a little bit of a magenta cast. No, you know, I tried it on a different computer. I had the same problems. I just could not get a clean calibration with it. So I put the Huey away. And of course, the Huey, the thing is, it's so adorable that I hated to do that. It's like a little stick that has LEDs that light up and has a little stand. And you can set it next to you you know, at your computer there, and it can monitor the ambient light in the room and help adjust your computer accordingly. That's kind of cool. And then when you're ready to calibrate your monitor, it sticks right there on your screen, and it runs through a nice process and everything, and then it creates a custom profile for your monitor that you can choose in your display's preference pane or control panel, depending if you're on Mac or Windows. So you just go, wow, I mean, all this for like $89? This is great. And so I wanted it to work, and it just didn't calibrate very well, in my opinion. So I put it away. Now, you notice I said I put it away. I did not throw it away. I have this thing about throwing away hardware. I don't like to throw away hardware because hardware can be modified by software. And sure enough, so I'm working on a new book right now, and I'm teaching these workshops on workflow and everything. So I thought I'd pull the Huey back out and get the latest driver and just make sure that it's still not a viable option. So I downloaded the new driver, which is a universal binary now, which I could use on my Intel Mac. And you had to get it from the Pantone site, which I really didn't like, because they make you join in order to get your software updates. And you have to give them all sorts of information, and it was, I didn't enjoy it very much at all. So, so I jumped through the hoops and all that, and I got the download with the update, installed it, and then ran a calibration on my MacBook Pro, and doggone it, if it didn't work really well. It looked really good. And in fact, I compared it to the profile that I had done recently with the Spyder 2 Pro. And then, of course, I also use the built-in calibrator in OS X. And, you know, I just sort of switch among them to make sure that I'm, you know, always using the best profile possible, or that, you know, that at least the other two aren't too far off. And, you know, just to kind of, you know, make sure that I'm in the ballpark. And the Huey looked great. So this is a case where I think software really kind of corrected the situation. And the latest version of the software for the Huey was Dynamite. So now the Huey calibrator is back on my good list, and it's actually one of the more affordable calibrators. They introduced a new one too, the Huey Pro, which I haven't seen or tried. And if any of you do have a Huey Pro, if you would comment on the show notes about what you think about, that would be terrific. So the rest of us could get a feel for the difference between the Pro and the regular, and if it's worth the extra dollars or not. So anyway, so now the Huey is in my good graces, and it's an opportunity. You know, it's easy to carry around with you. It's so small, and it looks cute sitting there next to your laptop, and it seems to be doing a pretty good job. I'll calibrate with it again to double check, but I ran it twice last night, and it was I like the way that it looked, and I made some prints, and they turned out well. So there you go. So there's Huey gone from bad graces to good graces just with a few software updates. And doggone it, software can be a beautiful thing sometimes. But even as affordable as the Huey is, sometimes another $89 is just more than people want to spend, and I don't blame them. So I try to come up with other things to help at least get your monitor calibration closer to what it should be. And if you're on a Mac, you do have some good options. Obviously, if you open up the display's preference pane in your system preferences, and you click on color, one of the things you'll see is a window that has all the preloaded profiles there. And what I like to do is I have a test print, an image that has all sorts of different skin tones, and you can get these things online, or you can create your own different skin tones, different whites, some good black areas, a Macbeth color chart, you know, all this sort of stuff. And I open it up, and you can click among the different profiles for the display and sort of see which one renders all these tones in your test image, whatever your test image may be, most accurately. And that's one thing that you can just do right now. You can just check out those different profiles, see if one looks more accurate than the others, and use it. Now, another thing that OS X users can do is that while you're there in the display preferences under the color tab, you can click the calibrate button. And if you click the box that says expert mode, it takes you through a fairly substantial calibration process that ends up with you being able to name a profile that you just created based on this calibration process. And as you walk through, you have to make some choices. You know, you're moving sliders, you know, trying to get the different shades right and so forth. But you also have to set some number sliders, and one of them is for gamma. And Mac users always have a choice between 1.8 and 2.2. 1.8 looks better to my eyes. I just like, you know, the middle tones better. But actually, 2.2 seems to be the standard that most people are following these days for online printing and so forth. So I recommend usually that you choose 2.2 for your gamma. And then for color temperature, you have some options too. And I think that D65 or 6500 degrees, however it's listed there, is probably a good starting point for calibration. And these seem to be pretty much standard settings that most folks are going by. So that is pretty nice. And I like it a lot. Now, on the Windows side, if you are a Photoshop user, you get this little tool called Adobe Gamma. And Adobe Gamma wasn't really designed to calibrate your monitor, but yet it does a pretty good job of it. And you can use it much in the same way that Mac users can use the calibration function built into their display preference pane. So Windows users, you know, if you go into, you know, your control panel for your display, and you noodle around a little bit, and you click on the Advanced tab and so forth, you'll end up where you can see profiles also loaded. And a lot of times, you might have a profile for your specific monitor, especially if you do something like you buy a matched Dell set or an HP set or something. You may see your monitor in that list. It may already be selected. If it's not, go ahead and select it and see how that looks. And then if you have Photoshop and you have access to the Adobe Gamma utility, run that and create a profile and then compare that to the default setting that's in there already and see how it looks. And maybe run some prints with the two different settings. And a lot of times, I think you might get a little bit of improvement with Adobe Gamma. Now, none of these methods that I'm talking about right now are substitutions for using a colorimeter. And the reason being is because they're all somewhat subjective. Even when you run the calibrator inside OS X, you are making visual decisions. And you could run it five times, and you could probably come out with five different profiles because it is subjective. You know, you're moving sliders trying to make, you know, apples, you know, disappear into, you know, gray areas and, you know, and things like that. That's very subjective stuff. So these are all sort of subjective. And the pre-canned profiles that may be in there already, that's fine for your monitors or your computers as they come out of the factory, but we know that over time they change a little bit and so forth. And of course, those profiles don't change with them. So, you know, they're not going to be the most accurate things in the world either. So, you know, all the stuff that I've talked about up until this point is sort of the first level, sort of the first wave. Here are things that you can do right now that will probably improve your workflow, that will probably make your monitor a little bit more accurate than it was before. And of course, they're all good things. And if you do nothing else, they're probably a solid leap forward. But the next step is, of course, colorimeters. And the nice thing about them compared to the other methods is that they actually, they're more objective. So you're putting them right on your monitor and it's flashing, the monitor's flashing gray, different shades of grays, red and, you know, green and blue and so forth. And it's measuring all of that stuff. And then it takes that information into account and then it builds a profile that is a standard profile. And there's no way to beat that. And in terms of that good objective measurement. Now, I have learned over time that I do like the way some of the systems create profiles. I like their profiles better than others. Like for a long time, I didn't like the Huey. Now, lately, I've had good luck with it. So things change. I've used the Spider 2 a lot, and I think the Spider 3 is out now. And I've had pretty good luck with that. That's a pretty good measurement system. The new EYE-1 system, I saw that demoed. I haven't tested it myself, but that seems to work pretty well. They seem to have a good system there. Also, you can look all these things up online, the EYE-1, the Spider 3, the Huey and the Huey Pro. They're all available now, and they're all pretty affordable. They're not top-notch colorimeters, and you know this is kind of an area where you get what you pay for. These are all under $200, I believe. However, they're darn good. They're darn good, and they're better today than they were 2 years ago, for sure. So, and I think for the printing that most of us would do at home on our Epson 2400s, on our HP 9180s, you know, on those B-size 13x19-inch printers, that we're going to get good results using these kind of colorimeters and, of course, matching profiles on the printer side. We have that's a pretty good workflow. And that, I'll tell you, that makes printing these days a lot easier. So now there's a few other things that go along, though. And one of them is, you know, the ambient light in the room can influence our perception of color and tone on the monitor itself. So one of the things that I like to do is try to set up an editing environment. It's an environment that I think I'm going to use, you know, repeatedly when I'm doing my photo editing. And then I like to calibrate in that environment. Now, if sometimes that's just not practical. So let's say that you have maybe two or three different environments where it's possible that you're going to be photo editing in. Well, one of the things I would suggest is that you create a profile for each of those environments, and then you switch to that profile when you're in that environment. But I tell you, consistency is really helpful in this, you know, as the name of this game. So the more consistent that you can be with your environment, probably the more accurate your editing's going to be. I'm getting ready to edit a whole bunch of pictures for a book. And what I really want to do is, obviously, I'm going to calibrate my monitor right before I start. I'm going to be very controlled about the environment that I work in terms of the ambient light and so forth. And I'm going to check my monitor throughout the project to make sure that nothing goes wacky on me. And so, you know, those are the situations when you know you have a bunch of images to do and you know they're going to appear together. You really want to make sure you calibrate and keep that environment control. Now, another thing that goes with this is that you want to make sure that your monitor, even your LCD, is warmed up or has been on for a little while. They take a little bit to come to full luminance. And so you want to, I usually allow 30 minutes before I calibrate. Have the monitor on for about 30 minutes. Let it get to where it's going to be. And then calibrate. And the same thing for photo editing. I like the monitor to be on for a little while before I actually, image editing, before I actually start image editing if I'm going to be making any changes. And then that way I have the chance of being more consistent. And consistency is the name of the game. Now, some of these tools will say that you should calibrate every month. For LCDs in particular, I'm not exactly sure about that. I mean, it doesn't hurt, I don't think. I can't see any reason why. But I've noticed not a whole lot of changes. I do calibrate before a big project, just because that seems wise. But otherwise, a lot of times my profile will be, you know, 3 or 4 months old, and I don't really seem to notice a problem with that. Now, if you're using an RGB monitor, especially an older one, they will change more quickly, and I would probably calibrate those once a month. But for an LCD, I think you're fine every few months, or like I said, before an important project. So I just wanted to take a few minutes just to remind you, in case you haven't checked your monitor lately, that if you have a colorimeter, maybe use it, do a new profile, follow some of these things I'm talking about in environment, and if you don't, explore what your options are, either on the Mac or on Windows, and make sure that you're looking at the most accurate representation of your work possible on your monitor. And I think in the end, it will help your overall workflow. It'll save you ink, it will save you paper, and sometimes it'll save you frustration. Okay, so now I want to tackle a couple digital story things. First of all, you guys did a yeoman's job on the photo assignment for November. Here I managed to screw that up just about every way possible. And I got a flurry of really nice work there at the end of the month. You didn't have very much time to do stuff, and the quality is very good. So, you know, for those of you that contributed to November, and for the rest of you that look at November, I think just hats off to the folks on the November photo assignment. Good-looking stuff on short notice, with me trying to throw every curve possible, and it's still going to be a very nice gallery. It won't be as deep as some of our other galleries, but I tell you, what's there is dynamite. So congratulations to all of you November photo assignment. You guys are, you know, you guys are assignment photographers. You're ready for the beat, for sure. Now, the assignment for December is water. Water. I had mentioned water before when it was too early, but it is official for December. It's water, the photo assignment, and now you have a full month to work on it. So I think this, I'm looking forward to great things. And it can be water in any form. So there's water, and there's steam, and there's ice, and there's other things I'm not even thinking of right now. So be creative. You've got lots to work with here. Water can manifest in all sorts of different ways. I think this should be a good gallery. I'll get that November gallery up as soon as I can, and I'll let you know when it's there. But right now, the assignment for December is water in all its various states. I want to welcome a new sponsor to the digital story. Lowepro, the maker of, geez, some of the nicest camera bags and photo accessories on the planet, has signed up for sponsorship. And this can mean nothing but good news for all of us. I'm going to be working with them. Hopefully, we're going to run some promotions. We're going to hopefully be giving some stuff away. And I should have some interviews with Lowepro photographers. And they have some of the best photographers in the world, part of what they're doing. So lots of fun stuff. So I want to thank Lowepro for coming on board and supporting the digital story, for help making this podcast a real thing. Their tile is already on the site, and you can click on it and it'll take you over to lowepro.com. Let's show them our support, and I'm going to try to get some goodies out of them and see what we can do here. But I think we'll have lots of fun. And I also want to acknowledge our longtime sponsor, Photomagico from Boink Software. When I was in my workshop today, I had folks that were saying, yes, Photomagico is my slideshow software, and I love it. I'm doing professional stuff with it. So that was great to hear. It is the best slideshow software for the Mac, and we also have a tile there on the digital story. So check them out. And I'm starting to get some grab shots. Thank you very much. It's funny how they go in spurts, but this is a great time of year for grab shots. Lots of people, things happening. So keep your eyes peeled. Keep your camera with you. grab those shots, and when you get a good one, send it in. All you have to do is click on the submissions button on the digital story, and it will tell you everything that you need to know. So that will take care of things for this week. Thank you very much for stopping by. Go out there and get some great pictures. Water is our photo assignment for the month. Get some grab shots. Calibrate your monitor. Get your images looking sharp. And I will see you here next week on The Digital Story. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.